I don't even know what you're talking about. In this episode, I'm bringing in my man, my friend, my buddy, discipline guru, Kurt Slater. We'll be discussing real situations and reflections, in this case on discipline, on breaking things down. This isn't just an interview, it's professional learning dialogue. And we'll be discussing leadership by wandering around, the importance of teaching and even living in the moment, and how to break down skills all the way to the base level before we start to build kids back up where they need to be. So put on your thinking cap and let's go. Welcome to the Andy Jacks Podcast, a reflection on how to win in discipline, both for ourselves and when helping others. Consider hitting that like button, sharing with others, and letting me know what you think about this episode's topic. All right, today, and welcome back, everyone. Today we have a guru. Well, I don't know what the word guru really means, but it sounds fun to say. It must mean that you're really smart and that you know what you're talking about, Kurt. So I'm so excited you're on. And I'm gonna do a quick intro for Kurt, but ultimately it's not about like interview style with this. We're gonna have a really cool dialogue on sort of situational things happening. So Kurt though is trainer, speaker, consultant. So talk to me about that, Kurt.
Yeah, I was a lot like you, Andy. I think the audience needs to know that both of us were not very good at the game of school, with kind of the social emotional skills and the behavior that was needed in order to be successful. And so I've spent the last 30 years in public education and then found that, you know, part of my passion is continuing to lead, as I'm not a principal anymore. And I sure miss the kids and all of that, but I love digging into more about the systems that support our practices. So that's what I'm doing right now. I work for Till 360, which stands for Teach, Inspire, Listen, and Learn. The reason there's 360 is at the end of it is that I can't really work with anyone until I listen and learn what they're already doing. You know, I hate people that come in and say, hey, Andy, buy this 3-ring binder, give it to your staff, and you are going to roll it out. Where I and you both know that those systems don't work, and we really need grassroots with our educators. And so we started this company, Till 360, and we really focus on a whole child MTSS model, knowing that we have things at tier one, tier two, and tier three. So it's been a lot of fun to travel the country and to see the same issues, no matter if you're in Iowa, in Washington State, Virginia, Minnesota, Texas, that we're all kind of experiencing kind of the same things through a pandemic, but even before the pandemic, of just where we have a lot of kids that are and staff that are socially, emotionally struggling due to kind of several social, emotional skills.
And shout out to all those people doing the real work out there, right? I mean, there's grinding through tough situations, you know, and it takes a village, it takes all of us together, sort of nationally, internationally, to help support each other. We should never be doing what we do in isolation. We need help through this whole thing. That's one of the reasons I have this podcast, is to try to connect the dots a little bit for people and help people understand that these things are really tough and we got to work through these things. It's not going to just happen automatically. We're not going to just improve and fix everything just naturally. It's going to take work.
Yeah. And that's the part that I love about NASP and the other organizations out there that are continually getting us off that island. Because, you know, the one thing I'll say from a leadership standpoint, if you're an elementary principal or even a high school, middle school principal, sometimes that position alone puts you and isolates you on an island and you don't need to be there. Even though that many times you're the only maybe principal in the building, it doesn't mean that that's where you have to stay. And that's what I love about you and many of the other people that I've met through several organizations, is that we have to continue to challenge ourselves to be open and honest where we're at, and also know that it's okay to talk about it, to say, hey, I'm struggling and looking for some other ideas, and to collaborate with each other.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought up NASP. That's where we had our big, the meetup of the minds, the Avengers coming together kind of a situation. So Kurt and I met at the NDP, the National Distinguished Principal, was it the Ceremony Awards Fiesta. This thing was just amazing. NASP does a good show. They put it on for, if you're a National Distinguished Principal, and just that's probably one of a few times where I felt just like the glitz and the glamour of business and everybody else, because that was just superb. So shout out to Dr. Franks and the NSP team for helping us out. So Kurt was NDP and Minnesota Principal of the Year 2018, same year that I was. And since then, we've had such a great connection and friendship. And although I think our wives have probably a better friendship than we do. So that could be true, you know. But that's
well, and I think it's a good reminder. The thing you bring up is that when you think of what happens to our spouses and partners in life that do this work, and the people that support administrators. You know, the key that I love about our two wives of when they get together is that they share some of our strengths and some of our weaknesses. Yeah. But there's times that what I love about both of them is that they realized when they weren't getting the best of us anymore. And I always tell people, you know, that, you know, yeah, that you should do the best you can at your job, but your family shouldn't get what's left of you. And right. I think that there's times in that grind, that's where we end up, is that our family's not getting what's best of us because we're answering our phones or, you know, and again, I love some of the skill sets that you've already talked about putting things away and just disconnecting. We ask our teachers to do that, but sometimes as leaders, we also have to do that in order to live a healthy life.
Yeah, 100%. Shout out to all those spouses out there. Without you, we couldn't do any of this stuff. So thank you guys. You can follow Kurt on Twitter at Slater_Curtis_. So I'm gonna call you Curtis for the rest of this episode. What do you think about that? Curtis Slater.
I love it, Andrew.
is that what happened when the principal called you down to his office? Mr. Curtis Slater, would you please come to the office? I know that when I got called down, it's always Andrew Jackson. My mom was always Andrew Michael Jackson every time I was in trouble. Full name. Somehow the full name rings too. Yeah. It rings like a dinner bell of discipline is what I...
Yeah, Curtis Michael Slater. And I just, my tail went between my legs and I was...
We got the same middle name. Middle name. See? Boom. There it is. All right. So let's get into it this week. So I was walking down the hallway this week and it really sparked. And as soon as I saw a situation, I'm like, I got to talk about this in a podcast, you know, and I can't help but connect the dots all the time as we're working through things. I feel like it's always nonstop. So I'm walking down the hallway doing this idea of leadership by wandering around, getting out of my office and just no agenda. And I think that's so important to have sometimes. It's important to be direct and know what you're trying to do with things and have improvements. But there's also a huge benefit for leaders to, and I think teachers should do this in the classroom at times too. Don't have a specific end game goal that you're trying to accomplish. You can create more open-mindedness and you start to look at things a little bit differently. And so I was just walking down the hallway, trying to figure out what's going on, really ultimately just see where I could help in the building. And then I saw a situation. And what's cool about that is, you know, leadership by wandering around. Before I even get to the situation, we'll talk about that a little bit. So this idea of leadership by wandering around is not a new thing. Management by wandering around, there's a couple different terms for it. But it's ultimately, you know, you become more relaxed because you don't have a clear agenda. I think a lot of times you can build better relationships with people because they don't see you on a mission. Sometimes as leaders, we get on this mission. Like, I got to go fix something right now. I can put my blinders on and I'm just like attacking a problem. And people can sense that. And I think that builds walls at times. Also, wandering around can be very unpredictable. And so you, and like in this case with this story, I see things I wasn't expecting to see. And that's very stimulating, I feel like, to leaders. And that unpredictability is sometimes the best part of our job. But ultimately, when you're out there, you can get feedback and give feedback in a much more natural way than if you're, like I said, sitting in a meeting trying to give constructive feedback to somebody. You know, that's always like so direct for people. But when you're just sort of like organically wandering around and talking and helping, a lot of times that could be the best learning experience. What do you think about that, Kurt?
Well, I think that one of the great things about, you know, leadership by wandering around is that you're also not having any sort of clipboard or any sort of pen. And so right away, the teacher's guards are more relaxed versus feeling like you're doing a walkthrough or a check-in. And so I do think it's important for the audience to know the difference of it. And you really talked about not having a hidden agenda. One of the things that I tried to do when I was a principal is I took an old overhead projector cart. And I just put some stuff on there so that, again, I didn't have to necessarily always go back to the office. And not only when people say, I never necessarily always just wandered around, I would just find a corner to hide in. And I wouldn't say hide in, but just absorb the sounds of the building, absorb the culture when no one's watching. And again, you can see a lot of excitement in the classrooms and then getting to go visit that, but then also getting a perspective of watching students come down the hall. And where are they at social emotionally? So I think you bring a really good point is that any opportunity I had, that's where I wanted to be. Now, the part of some people are like, oh, thanks for affirming my, you know, my portable desk. It also wasn't always good because I would get stuck behind that darn computer. I would get stuck doing something there and it would move away from that wandering. So, you know, I really love how you bring up that perspective of trying to do it without a portable desk, without a, you know, with too much electronics with you so that you can really enjoy that opportunity of leadership.
I'm glad you said that because I feel that's like you're hitting me right there. Cause I have a great like one of those like adjustable, you know, desk things where you can run all over the place with it. And I do find that if I have my computer and my phone and all these things there, I do get caught up in that. You just can't help yourself. Electronics are like a black hole. It's like they just suck you in. And so, and in this case, I didn't have my phone. And that's something I don't think I thought about at the time, but I didn't have my phone either. You know, trying to keep that phone aside. I know a lot of people are like, I'm going to take my phone everywhere with me and do all these things. And there's a place for that because you want to take pictures and share those things out there. But that's just another trap. It's another trap that can get between you and somebody else or you and the moment having that phone. Just like at home, it's a trap. It could be a trap in school. So I'm glad you said that. So a challenge out there. I love to challenge those listeners. So challenge out there when you're wandering around, try not to bring your phone even. Your walkie, you got to bring your walkie-talkie for, you know, safety first, but you can't, maybe your phone. So I'm walking through the hallway. And I come down this first, second grade hallway and I run into a teacher and I'm not gonna tell a teacher or student's name because it's really not about that. I don't wanna ever sort of call out kids, that kind of thing. But I'm this fantastic teacher, see her in the hallway and I sort of just take it all in, stand behind the student. Student doesn't see me. And I realize she's doing a reading assessment, trying to do this like end of the year assessment to see where he's at. I think teachers are just fantastic on how they care so much about where these students end by the end of the year. They take so much pride in the success of their students. And they love to see their students sort of shine. In this case, the teacher asked this child to read a word and he said the word big. And I'm standing behind him, I can see the words and it wasn't big. And she pulls it down and there's another word. How about that word? Big. Again, big, 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 big. And all these words are different words. And you could see a moment of like, okay, he definitely isn't at this level and we're gonna have to adjust. But instead of doing that, she took the time to start to really dig in a little bit deeper with this situation because he was obviously not understanding the reading, the words and the skills. And so she's like, okay, well, what can you recognize the word big? Can you do this? Can you do this? And finally he goes, I don't even know what you're talking about to her. And that just made me laugh. And I'm trying to not laugh out loud because I don't want him to know that I'm behind him sort of watching. And so she sort of just giggles herself. And you can just tell the love that she has for her student. And this child is trying so hard, but ultimately she could tell that he didn't really understand so much of it. So she took that moment, she lived in that moment instead of moving on. And now you can't do this for state testing and all these other things. So you have to pick and choose when you do this. But she took that moment to really dig down deep to where he really was. So she started diving into, does he know first letter sound? And he did. He knew the B. He could write the B. Did he know last letter sound? No, he didn't. He knew there was three letters and he could recognize that it had three letters. And then he could recognize, because she had him sort of spell it, that he could recognize it was a CVC. So consonant, vowel, consonant. He just had the wrong vowel and the wrong last consonant. So she started digging until she got down to that base level of understanding where he knew three letters. He could recognize the letters. He knew the beginning sound. And then she built back up from there. And I thought that was like, boom, just another light bulb went off. How do we break down skills to that base level so that we know where to start? Because if you don't know where to start and close those gaps, we're just sort of shooting in the dark and we're practicing things they like this kid. I don't even know what you're talking about. So how does that work in more of an everyday situation besides a reading assessment? Because I feel like that's something, I don't know if you could relate to that, but to me, that was something that really hit me hard about how do we dive down deep to that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know what was interesting, Andy, when you talk about that, and I want to take that experience of that teacher and student around literacy and apply it to behavior. And the one thing that I always tried to do as I was dealing with students that were coming to the office, or even if I was dealing with them at recess or lunch, is it goes back to not only figuring out the function of the behavior, but even getting that student to admit where they are. You know what I love the student says, I don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, that was a win-win for me, because when a student says like, I don't even know what I did that was wrong. Some people want to say in discipline, see that student's not taking ownership, Mr. Slater. Mr. Jack said student's not taking ownership. They need to stay in the office until they take ownership. But what we need to recognize, and I talk a lot about this when I speak and have the opportunity, the stuff I was learning on the weekends with my dad at the bar or at the AWA wrestling matches with my grandma or the opportunities of the family fight were all skills I was bringing to school. So when someone was saying to me like, hey, that's not how we act, I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. This is how we always act. But the one aha moment that I had for the last 5 years of being a principal was I never would try to get the student right away to look at their situation or their behavior, looking at their word. I always gave them a different situation that we could watch together and pull it off of YouTube. And that's one of the things that we've really tried to do with this new company, to start this human connection hub, where it's kind of the Netflix of videos, where kids can watch it and then we can have a discussion about what you had a chance to see in the video. So it's not personal and they don't have to take ownership for something that they're already ashamed of. And so that's what I think, that sometimes we have to take that light off of us and we have to shine a light over somewhere else, that that two people can observe something together and then have a discussion of it. And if they're able to apply that science to, hey, now look what that student did. He threw a rock at another kid, and now trying to get them to have empathy, we slowly can bring it back to them and say, okay, so tell me a little bit what happened at recess today that maybe applies to what we had a chance to watch in the video. And it just gets everyone a little bit more relaxed.
Because you're right, there's an element of, it's very difficult for people to, like this child, to be in a tough situation where they don't know, and then tell them like, okay, now reflect on that and tell me what you could have done better. If they knew what they could have done better, they would have done it. I always hated it as a kid, you know, and they asked me those kind of situations. I don't know. I don't even know why I did it, frankly. You're asking me, why did you do this? Why did you do this? I don't know. If I knew, I probably wouldn't do it again. It just happens, right? You just do things without thinking about it, you know, sort of like impromptu kind of stuff, you know, but having them take something separate and reflect on that, it's sort of like that third party. It's like a third situation where they can sort of remove themselves a little bit better. But when you dig deeper like that, you know, really deconstructing that skill, understanding kind of what those sub skills are, and then practicing those sub skills so that you can build that foundation back up better. And then ultimately you can't really move on unless you know that kid can do it without you. Like that sort of, you know, unprompted, because so many times it's like, we barely got that skill. And then all of a sudden, you know, okay, they got it now. No, they really didn't get it. And it takes a long time to master skills, especially behavioral skills.
Yeah, what's interesting is I break up relationships in three phases. It would be interesting to kind of, you know, if we ever had more time to talk about our three phases, our relationship. The first phase, which I think educators do an amazing job of, is establishing relationships. You know, we start off with open houses and we're building all of these and we're, you know, we're kind of establishing that relationship. And then there's that next phase of maintaining. And those are the day-to-day morning meetings, greeting kids at the door, the high school, you know, whatever that is. But where we're terrible in education, and I don't mean to call anyone out because I know that I was also terrible at this, is restoring relationships. How do we restore? And not only are we terrible with our kids, I believe adults in the general are terrible at it. I mean, you look at social media and someone sends a tweet out or someone puts something on Facebook and then just watch people, adults, go back and forth. And then people's feelings are hurt and we can't go back to restoring the relationship because many of us can't get past that, hey, a mistake was made. And so if the adults struggle with it, I usually say the kids are going to even struggle more with it because it means that there's a lack of leadership when it comes to role models that they can see what this might look like.
Absolutely. And I think we should get into all these other things because we can't, just like we want to break things down for kids, we need to break it down for ourselves too. What is our base level of understanding for these issues and then build up and close that gaps from the base level. And it's okay where you are. And I think so many teachers like feel guilty or administrators feel guilty if they're not like the best at all these things. There's no way you can be, but you need to be honest with yourself and we need to figure out where we are so that we can build up from there.
Well, you bring up a great point. I'd love to go back and interview that teacher and say, just think if that teacher was not self-aware that they just found out like, hey, they were cut or we have two more days of school or something was added on. And now all of a sudden their self-awareness is at a spot where they're not even able to regulate. Would she have that time to try to break it down versus saying, you know what, if you don't even know what this word is and you keep thinking it's big, I'll talk to you later. And all of a sudden that student walks away and we never got to that depth of learning. And so that's another thing of like, how do we kind of regulate where we are? Not only as teachers, but as principals, as parents, as spouses, as, you know, significant others in our life, how can we have our colleagues say to us, hey, Andy, why don't you go for that walk? You seem like maybe you can use a little walk right now. Without it being a bad thing, like, who are you to tell me to take a walk, Slater? I'm not taking a walk, you know? But again, what I say to people is like, if I say that to you, and like, how do you expect kids ever to take that walk? How do you expect kids to you know, again, go to a calming corner, whatever you believe in as a way to help regulate that child. If it's like, hey, I think you need a break. Well, I think you might need a break. You know, like you can just hear people's voice. Like, do you want to go to that walk?
Tell your spouse to calm down. See how that works for you. It never works. You can't just tell people to relax. Although it's very often, if you ever tell me to relax, I'm going to assume that you are true because I probably do need it at that point. So my man, we could talk all day. Let me wrap this thing up. Few things, takeaways for today. That, you know, leadership by wandering around. If you're not doing that now, make sure you take advantage of the sort of the aimless wandering and lead that way. Second thing is the importance of teaching and living in the moment and taking advantage of that moment. There's nothing like authentic and genuine learning experiences that are right in front of your face. And help number three, to break things down to that base level skill. You have to find out where that base level skill is and build a foundation from there. Back up. So I think that's a wrap, Kurt. What do you think?
Well, I just wanted to say, hey, thanks for having me. What a great Saturday morning to spend some time with you. A big shout out to all of the leaders listening to this. I hope you're going to make it to Chicago on July 6th through the 10th. I'm excited to be there. I'm going to be presenting. Come see the Till 360 booth. We're going to be giving away some sweet I Fight for Kids shirts. And again, I challenge you to do that same type of thing as leadership by wandering at NASP and get off your island, meet new people. I know many of you are gonna go down with a group, and if you're flying solo, you come find Andy or I and we will connect you with some of the best of the best. And the last thing is I just wanna thank every single educator out there that continues to lead through a pandemic. We're almost at the end and you better make plans to celebrate with the people that have helped you along the way, because you didn't do this alone.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see you in Chicago, all those people in Chicago. And Kurt, just a quick book update. I think my book will be out and published by then. That's the crossing your fingers.
Well, we're working on a signed copy.
You got it, man. We're working on book covers, official book covers. You know me, I'm like looking at every detail of these things. I can't help it. So
I just want all the listeners to know my wife's super excited for Andy's book to come out because she thinks it will help in our relationship, that she'll help fix some of my discipline problems I still have at the age of 50. So
that's right. It's for all of us. That's
it's for all of us.
That's right. So I hope you all enjoyed this week's topic. Share with others and let me know what you think on social media @_AndyJax. You can follow Kurt Slater @Slater_Curtis_. Read more on leadership, school culture, discipline at AndyJax.com. And make sure you stay connected. And like Kurt said at these conferences, get out of your bubble, connect with others. There's no one that is too good to talk to you. And don't feel insecure about that. They do want you to talk to them. We're all in this together. So reach out if you need anything and have a great week.